Hi, I'm Dr. Vivian Smith Del Toro. Welcome to the Legacy Interview Series from Women's Centers International, WCI. This is the fourth of a six-part series. In each episode, you'll hear stories from one woman's journey that inspired an international movement. I'm here with Susan Burgess Lent, founder and executive director of WCI. And we have a guest appearance by Grant Williams, a major donor of WCI. Today, we're going to talk about the lifeblood of nonprofits' money. Susan, I'd like to just ask you, how have you funded women's centers?
Over the years, it's been a challenge. We had many funding events. We did fashion shows for Oakland Women's Center. We've had mostly individual donors, in particular Grant, who almost single-handedly has allowed WCI to survive and thrive. We expect to do more events, virtual events, this year. Applications for grants take a lot of time, and there's a lot of competition right now. So it's very time-consuming part of my work.
So Grant, I'm very interested because you've been, as Susan has indicated, the lifeblood of WCI. What motivated you to provide such wonderful support over the years?
I have a blessed life. My mom passed. My sister and I came into some money. And the fact is, I have a lot more than I need, and I cannot reconcile keeping all that money and not allowing it to do some good in the world. I'm not a shopper. I just don't care about stuff like that, especially clothes. I still wear shirts that are 20 years old. I got involved with an organization called the Mankind Project in 1999, and that was a wake-up call for me to start to seriously learn what it means to be a man in this world. Through the maturing from that personal growth work, I became more aware of human suffering on the planet. So I began to go places and do things as a philanthropist. I kind of think of myself as someone who likes to get his hands dirty and at the same time write a check. I just don't like to write a check and then send thoughts and prayers. Susan, I have known about for a very long time. She's married to a friend who I went to college with. And I knew about her work in the Northern Sudan. And I was very impressed with the sacrifices she made and the incredible commitment, just relentless. And so I immediately trust somebody like that. And I remember I was in Arizona with my sister and our accountant and investor, and we were doing really well. And I remember that's the day I called Susan up and I said, I don't want to give you some money today. And it was six figures. And I imagined the rest of the day what it was like for her. She probably didn't feel the ground too much. And ever since then, I've been supporting her because I know how dedicated her heart is. I love her heart. And I've been to Nairobi three times. The last time, from the inspiration of the first two visits, her husband and I made a documentary. I was hoping that the showing of that would inspire a lot of people to be generous and make small sacrifices. I learned a lot from a man named John Dow, who created the John Dow Foundation. He was a Sudanese lost boy and ended up in Syracuse and created his foundation, which eventually, after talking to them, had me go to the Sudan, and we all helped build a clinic there. And I saw firsthand of what it's like to be in the bush working with people that live lives that are unimaginable to people in the West. Mostly it's because I just can't sit on my ass and do nothing when I'm able to do something. But I think it's also to be honest and open up a little bit, it's because of some guilt that I have such a blessed life and live in comfort and convenience. And I have to give back something. It's somewhere between wanting and needing to help people who really need it. I created my own nonprofit, which went for 9 years. We would go into schools, high school and middle school, and we worked with kids, giving them the opportunity to tell the truth about their lives and the pain they were feeling on a daily basis, particularly around bullying. You guys probably know that last year we had some horrendous fires. It made national headlines. 2,500 people were homeless. And something like that happens. And I can't look at the news and say a prayer. So I went out and got trained in a hazmat suit and got down on my hands and knees for 5 days, sifting through the ash. It's a real wake-up call to be doing that when the homeowners are standing right next to me saying, oh, look, that's a piece of pottery. Save that for me. Oh, there's my engagement ring. Please give that back to me. And I mean, it's...
Wow.
That was the payoff. I know that Susan is wanting to get back into Oakland, and I want to help her do that, and I want to continue helping in Nairobi. These women that are getting help and organizing their lives are making a difference for their children. And when the children see their mothers bringing home a paycheck or doing something constructive with their lives, that's affecting them. God bless the women of Africa. They are the backbone of that entire continent.
Indeed, they
are. I wish more men realized that and paid them tribute.
Susan, as Grant has expressed the many avenues that he has been involved in terms of philanthropy, I'd like to give you the opportunity as well to talk a little bit about the community in which you work.
The goal of my work is to have enough money to keep the organization financially stable enough to do what we plan to do. And one of the big plans that Grant mentioned is that we want to reopen Oakland Center. It'll be in virtual form until we can get past the pandemic restrictions, and then we'll have an actual facility. But funding is a very peculiar game. There's nearly 47,000 organizations in the US that focus on women and girls. But what they get is about 1.6% of all charitable dollars in the US. Oh, and it's even smaller for women of color. So there's a lot of talk about supporting women, especially now, and not a lot of action, in my opinion. There's a lot of money out there, but the things that you need to do to access it are daunting. And so many proposals now, you have to be invited to submit. How do you get somebody to notice the organization is doing exactly what you want to do in the world, but you don't know about them because there's no access. There's no access point. Investing in women across the board is the key to improving all kinds of communities. Women are more involved in philanthropy as managers of funds, and also because more women have more money to donate. But the question is, how do you get to them? And that's the thing I've been working on for years.
So Grant, can you tell us a little bit about the how and possibly some lessons learned with the donations to nonprofits?
People like Susan, I think, are the exception, according to my experience. It's so easy to trust her and know that my money is going to the right places. The thing that works the most, for me anyway, are personal stories. And when I heard about a woman named Solange who learned how to sign her name and broke down in tears, when I saw that, that's all it took. And 2 weeks later, I was in Nairobi and I met her and she broke down and cried again. She was with one of her kids. And it just make such a difference to me to see a result. And that woman's face was a result.
One of the notions that Susan talked about in a recent correspondence was the fact that using your own network or going to your church or neighborhood, utilizing all of those resources to help the donation come in.
Absolutely.
A lot of times people think too much about it and they just kind of talk themselves out of what they naturally would do.
Yeah, they underestimate the power of their network. They don't know who's there and who could say, yes, I'll do that. You know, you have to work your networks and say, who's out there? Who cares?
Yep. You know? Yep. Susan, I wanted to let you know that as the founder and chair for Global Executive Business Consultants, we are partnering with WCI and we're going to be putting you on our website to use our network, because our goal as our company is to achieve gender parity in Fortune 500 companies by 2030. What is it going to take for us to continue WCI and this women's movement that you actually started?
If you fund a program and it ends and there's no more money, the program will not continue. If you provide operating funds, that's another story. Then you're going to be able to take care of paying people to show up and do the work. And these women at Baraka work their butts off. They are the hardest working women I know. I get their monthly reports and go, oh my God, you need a vacation. When you apply for money from any source, people want to know two things basically. One is, what is the impact and how can you demonstrate that? And the second is, how can you sustain this? Now, the first one, you have to keep meticulous records, which at this point, Baraka Center does, but it took a long time to build a database because they have over 1,100 women. That's a lot of stuff to track. Tracking, you know, not just demographic data, but also what workshops are they attending? You know, what's the status of their business? Are they in a table banking group? There's a million possible ways to look at the data. Looking at impact is a mixed bag for me because I'm less concerned with body count than I am with quality of life, the impact on quality of life, which is a much harder thing to tease out. I've been looking at this problem through the lens of other organizations, particularly UN Women, partnering with organizations to do better data gathering and analysis because they believe that at least 65% of the information relevant to gender-based programs is not there, either because the government doesn't track it or the organizations don't track it. They have no place to put it in the grander scale of things to demonstrate, well, this is the sort of data we have on domestic violence. That's real hard to tease out because most women don't report it. Or sexual violence, or how is your business doing this month? These are doable things, but they take money to deploy people, to ask the questions, to figure out where to put the answers and how to analyze those answers for any trends, for any indicators that will show them, okay, we're doing this right, or we're actually not, and we need to make a course correction here. Data gathering is at the bottom of impact. And that is one of the hardest things for women's programs right now to demonstrate. They don't have access to data gathering and analysis technology. It's a big deal. How do you keep a pipeline open from various sources in order for there never to be a time when you say, oh, ladies, this month we can't pay anybody's salaries. Oh, we don't have the rent. And oh, all the trainers that we have usually bring on board, they can't come in this month because we can't pay them. You cannot have that. It's too big a setback on a fairly fragile environment in which people's lives are really on the line month to month. And if you don't figure out a way for them both to survive and to learn the tools. If you don't have a background in fundraising, you don't have somebody to sit with you and go, okay, here's what they're asking and why they're asking it, and here's how to put your financials together. If you don't have that, you're not even going to be in that ballgame.
Thank you so much for that explanation. I wanted to ask one last question, and that is, what's your ideal funding arrangement?
You need people who take time, as Grant had mentioned earlier, people who take time to understand what the organization is doing, how they use the money. In particular, you have to be aware that the cultural realities are entirely different. The way people think about time and money is not the same. And so can you make that adjustment in understanding, well, building a business, they don't have the luxury of waiting around for things to work out better. They've got to hustle. Finally, I think if you are on board with an organization, then you have to commit to a long-term partnership or create an environment in which that long-term partnership can be transferred over to somebody else who say, I'm in, I'll pick it up here. You have to have some stability in the whole arrangement. And that's one of the things that's been very elusive for WCI. Notwithstanding Grant's enormous contributions, it can't be on one person. There have to be more people who step up and say, got this. My commitment is for a year, for 3 years. Consistency matters for the long-term success of an organization.
Well, fantastic, Susan. I thank you so much for your personal contributions. And then I want to also thank Grant Williams for your generous donations over the years. I want to end today's program by saying to all those that are listening, your contributions help women transform their lives in the most challenging environments. Donate at www.womenscentersintl.org. And we'll be back next week for a special Mother's Day episode. Thank you so much. Thank you, Grant.
Thank you,
Susan.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Weekend.